siesta.
The siesta's big in Spain. Don't mess around with the siesta.
Well, you know, being Panameña,
tú sabes, ya tú sabes. Too. Yeah, the siesta. I think we should
bring it back.
Yeah, because they shut down. We were looking for a museum in Spain, and we were talking to a woman that was going on the siesta, and she was lowering the metal windows on her thing, and we were like, "Señora, no conoce. I'm going on siesta. You don't understand. Listen, don't ask me any more questions." So I like that during the day you take time out and go refresh and come back.
Well, George, congratulations on this new series.
Thank you very much.
Two things I kind of noticed that came to mind to me, and part of it is kind of a throwback. Remember Jack Benny?
Yeah.
There's something about part of the... You know, Jack Benny always felt like he didn't get enough...
Yes, of course. Come on. Jack Benny was the greatest of the slow burn, what do they call it, like the kind of expression where you're listening to someone talk and you're not saying anything, but you're saying everything with your face. So, I would say that works, the Jack Benny works.
So when you decided to do this show, because it's so much personal.
Yeah.
What were you thinking? I guess that's pensando.
You know, I like TV. You know, I did movies. I did some movies, and I didn't like waiting around. You know, to wait around. I did a movie with Jackie. It was probably the movie with Jackie Chan where you're waiting 5 hours for him to put a chair on a wire and then have the chair fall and have the bad guy get the chair and hit you with the chair and then reset the chair. And I'm like, oh, my God. And then the guy falls down. It was supposed to be me. So the guy falls down, and he's laying there for the rest of the scene. So when they hit me with the chair and I went down, I had a stuntman there, and I told him, hey, Eddie, come and lay down right here. And then he laid down, and I left and let him lay down for the next 4 hours while they talked on top above him. And I was like, I got back, and they presented the talk show at that time. And I thought, you know, something daily would be good. I'd like the talk show for the 2 years that it was on. You know, I don't think I had the right partners in TBS to be able to do something, but we did everything.
I mean,
thank you. We did a lot of diversity, you know, like when Enrique Iglesias came on and he said, can you take 5 minutes out of my interview, and I have a friend out there that's a singer, he's just starting, and can you interview him, me and him together? And it was Pitbull. And Pitbull's first time he was on, and then while the 2 years he was on, he became, known, and he always came back, and he was always great to have. Same thing with Justin Bieber. Justin Bieber, my daughter played me this YouTube video of Justin Bieber playing the guitar, and I went back on Monday and I told the guys, I said, hey, have you seen this kid from Canada? They're like, yeah, he's booked on the show. So it was his first talk show that he was on. He came back, and the fact that you had Sofia Vergara, Jennifer Lopez, Salma Hayek, Sam Jackson, Janet Jackson, Prince, 50 Cent, Kristen Stewart, that you have all those people on one show, and the diversity of that show for the 2 years it was on was great. Even Prince, when Prince was on, you know, I asked him, you know, why this show? And he said, because, you know, I watch this show, and this show appeals to everybody. And then when I was on CNN 2 weeks ago, I said, that's why it's not on anymore, because it appealed to everybody. So this show is shows a side that, I think that the characters around me are funny, and it's not necessarily driven by me like the first show. So I like the fact that when people become successful, that some people think that all your problems are over, but I think that your problems are just starting. And there's so many things that I didn't realize that were funny that are perfect for this show, but would not have been perfect for the first show.
Speaking of your first show, I know Sandra Bullock sort of to get that ball rolling.
Yeah.
And then you mentioned you had some people on your talk show that you helped get them their ball
rolling. Yeah.
So could you tell us a little more about Sandra and maybe sort of giving back once you've made it to certain...
Yeah, you know, I was always very appreciative to her in the time that she was around, the time we would do the show. She would come to the tapings of the show. And back then, you know, phones and stuff were just kind of starting. And there was a rule in the show where on the stage, you couldn't text or talk on the phone on the stage. Because, you know, in the beginning we were rehearsing and you would see people like this over your shoulder, you know, and I was like, okay, all right. And I would say, hey, you can't text while we're rehearsing or filming. So we had signs all over the place. And I went to another show one time and this actor was there in the chair and they said, hey, we're ready for you. And he's like, hey, hang on a second, you know. So I didn't want that.
Right.
So we had that rule. And Sandra Bullock was the only person that we allowed to text and use the phone. No one else. So you'd look over and you'd see her in the chair with her legs crossed like this on the BlackBerry. She was the only one of all of the people that could. So, you know, in letting her know how I felt about her, in always letting her know how appreciative I was, and of saying that one time she said, you know, the best thing about George is that I didn't create a monster, which I think she created a little bit of a monster. But in remembering what that felt like to have somebody say, that's my guy under whatever circumstances. Like, she had CAA come and see me. They said no. She had other agencies come and see me. They said no. She had producers come and see me. They said no. We went to the producer of Drew Carey, Bruce Seltzer. He told me later on that he only took the meeting to meet Sandra. Then they saw me, and then he liked me. Then we got in business, and we went to Warner Brothers, and they saw me. And then we went to ABC, and they saw me. But, you know, the guy only took the meeting to meet Sandra, and I was attached to Sandra, so it benefited me. But Sandra was the first person to tell me, don't worry about that. You let me worry about that. So in finding people that were new on the talk show, and even finding people that were new in this show that people had not seen before. The actress, Ashley, that plays my daughter, Cuban, the friend, Mexican, citric, a lot of Latino people in the restaurants, a lot of Latino people in the scenes, the guy that says, fuck George Lopez all the time, Latino guy that I've known for a long time, Sal, yeah, great. And I've never been a guy that wanted to do a show that was only for one group of people, that I would use the way that I look to make a show that included all people. So it doesn't always work, but it's kind of the formula that I've tried to stick to.
One of the things that I...
What do you expect from this show, and do you think that there is not enough just for Latin people in the show business, because you just say that you don't like to wait until you get something?
Yeah. You know, yo pienso que es difícil para todos los que salen aquí en Hollywood. That it's never easy for everybody. Y yo pienso que if you say no lo podía hacer porque era Latino, no lo podía hacer porque era Latina, that argument of saying that I didn't make it because I was Mexican or Latino doesn't really work anymore, because it's hard for everybody and you have to be prepared or trained. Like, you think a lot of people think that they're just going to find you and think that you have talent to go the whole way. Like, they might find you and you might be good one time, but you have to be good all the time. And that's the hardest thing. In the beginning of the show, to be good all the time takes hard work, and you have to work when other people are sleeping, and you have to be willing to do things that no one else is willing to do, a sacrifice. So to think that they found me and Sandra found me and just said, hey, this is my guy, I was working twice as hard, and I understood that I didn't have a chance to be bad. So it's hard for all people. It might be harder for us, but there's not as many of us, so that the ones that do make it have to kind of help a little bit of the ones to try to find Latino actors and producers and writers, which we try to do. But sometimes they're not ready. There was a girl que escribió libros de la vida de Latinos, and I got her a job as a writer on my sitcom, and it didn't work out for her because writing a book is slower than writing jokes all day long. So in that opportunity, she was overwhelmed, and then when she left the show, she didn't have nice things to say about the show, which I thought was unfair because she had an opportunity to do something. And it was harder than she thought, and it was harder than I thought it was going to be for her. I thought she could just slide in, but it makes you realize that there's so many dimensions to a performer and so many things that you have to be good at, and you just don't sit around waiting for opportunity to knock.
On that line, it's one of the things we've noticed, that I've noticed definitely, that there's definitely more Latinos on television compared to what it used to
be. Oh, yeah.
And especially behind the camera, there's so many Latino directors directing so many
films. Yes, it's amazing, isn't it? There really is great Mexican directors and actors. And they weren't around as prominent 20 years ago. They were probably just starting to, but there is, you know, Leonardo DiCaprio wins an Academy Award, Mexican director. Birdman, amazing movie for everybody, the same Mexican director. Guillermo del Toro, Benicio del Toro, productions of Selma Hayek, productions of Eva Longoria, Mark Anthony, Pitbull, Sofia Vergara, Wilmer Valderrama, Robert Rodriguez. So there's a list, a long list, Danny Trejo, where there before there would not have been as long a list of men and women and of different cultures, not primarily Mexican either. So that's another thing. Everybody thinks that everybody's Mexican anyways, but there's more than just Mexican. I think Donald Trump, when he said that illegal aliens are the Mexicans, I think they thought, okay, all illegal aliens are Mexican, but they come from all over the world. Right. And if there was ever a time to have people get together, now's the time. You know, this election is the time.
What do you think about the Trump?
si él gana, yo me voy para México. I haven't picked out a place yet, but I will. If he wins by some crazy, I mean, not crazy, he's a Republican nominee, I would have to look at alternate plans. I'll build another tunnel con El Chapo. I'll have a tunnel that goes to Mexico and comes back.
Vancouver, Toronto.
Yeah, right? And even in the computer, like some of the most looked up searches are real estate in Canada, or everybody wants to go to Canada, nobody wants to go to Mexico, but everybody's planning on going to Canada.
I would like the weather better in Mexico.
Mexico's fantastic.
Thank you.
Thank you guys.
Thank you so much.
I appreciate it. Thank you. Great questions.